everybody jump.
Yes, yes, yes. A Wednesday morning, Taz of the Moose with you on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house your home? Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates. Taz back with us this day after a day out sick. How you feeling, big guy?
Oh, I was just going to call you big guy, but yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm not 100%. It's not contagious. It's kind of a sinus thing, but I'm here. As you know, I grind. This is well documented. That's what I do, Moose, and I'm here. Again, not contagious, yes. Not 100%. Well, I'm just setting the table on that deal because to let you know that I'm still a little bit, as we say, shangad.
Yeah, well, I won't be making out with you later.
No, there's no making out, but okay. Yeah, you know what I mean.
There you go.
But so, I'm just, it's a sinus.
I appreciate the heads up.
You understand because you've had the sinus thing and you get the nasal issues,
no,
as we know, and the blowing of the nose and the runny nose and the blowout and all
glad
that.
Glad to see you again.
It's great to see you, champ.
Yeah, all there right. you go. So it's good to see you again. And,
great to see you.
Glad that you're battling through.
I mean, I saw you a day and a half ago. I mean, so it's not like I didn't see you in, like, months. So it's great to see you again. I mean, Moose, I just saw you. I missed the day of work. Just, you know what I mean?
I was just happy that you're healthier and back to work. That's all I meant.
Words have power, Moose. You know that.
I understand. Yes, they
do. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Taz and the Moose.
Rip-roaring start. It's plenty to get into as we Barrett Selle will join us a little bit later on in the program. Looking forward to that conversation. And we begin with the news that came down the National Football League yesterday in terms of the Carolina Panthers deciding to fire their head coach Ron Rivera after their loss over the weekend on Sunday at home against the Washington Redskins, a game in which they were a double-digit favorite. You've seen the Carolina Panthers play well at times this year, like they did in a close loss to Green Bay. You've seen them get destroyed. I mean, now, that was a double-digit margin in the fourth quarter against the Washington Redskins. They lost to the Atlanta Falcons at home, in which Atlanta beat them by a distinct margin. They went out to San Francisco, got utterly embarrassed by the 49ers. Rivera's been there for quite some time, 20 games over the 500 mark. You know, that trip to the Super Bowl that he had, in which Carolina did lose to the Denver Broncos that afternoon. But still, you look at it for Ron Rivera, I guess as the general manager and owner came out yesterday, basically felt like it was time.
Yeah, I know. It's like you never want to see this. No matter how good or bad a coach is in the middle of the season, it's tough. I mean, and this guy's been there a long time. And this guy was you know, definitely was a great player, a great, excellent linebacker. His success with that great Chicago Bears defense and all that jazz. People know his history. I mean, a Super Bowl appearance, four playoff runs. I mean, the whole deal. So, I mean, it's like he's had success as a coach. I think he'll end up coaching somewhere again soon. But this you know, the owner, this is not his guy. Rivera wasn't his guy. He inherited his guy when he bought the club, bought the team. So, you know how that goes, Moose. A lot of times when that happens, you're on the short list, especially when you're losing all the games that the Panthers have lost, like you just laid out. I mean, especially losing four in a row and what they've just the lackluster performance of this Panther team, which it seems like just yesterday were known as a stout defense, excellent team, Cam Newton running amok, throwing amok, and now it's like they're a former shell of themselves.
They are, and you know, I agree and disagree in terms of your point in terms of the owner. I think it's more a case of they looked at Rivera, hadn't been there quite some time. The messaging sometimes can wear thin on some veteran players if it's the same one. The disappointing way that this came to an end. It was not that long ago that Ron Rivera was on the hot seat with the Carolina Panthers. And people thought maybe he was going to get fired a year ago, year and a half ago. Ended up surviving because the team ended up playing well. This year has just ended disastrously. The Cam Newton injury, and then you throw Allen in at quarterback. And, you know, he has played well, but he's played poorly as of late. Prone to the turnover. McCaffrey, we know how dynamic he is at the running back position, Taz. I do think as a coach, sometimes you can wear out your welcome in terms of your messaging.
Right.
And I think for Rivera down there in Carolina, I think they probably, and no fault of his own, I think he's a good head coach. I agree with you. I would not be surprised if he's got a job in 2020 running another organization. But I do think for the Carolina Panthers, they wanted to freshen things up and kind of move on because it's going to be a state of transition this offseason for them. So why not get into the moving pieces? Arguably, Cam Newton's going to be gone as a Carolina Panther. They have to find their new quarterback of the future. If it's not the guy that's starting right now, then somebody else. So there's going to be a little bit of a transition in terms of the face of that franchise here moving forward, and they didn't feel like Ron Rivera was the guy to take them where they need to go.
Right. No. I mean, all factually correct. But when you say you agree, disagree, like when you talk about David Tepper, the owner, I mean, what are you disagreeing about? I mean, he did inherit him.
I think he's more the general manager than the owner.
Okay.
Like, sure. when you make that argument in terms of a guy not having his guy,
right.
I think it's whether the general manager inherited the head coach or manager rather than the owner. I don't necessarily think that's like kind of a deciding factor. I think if I'm a GM and I come in to run a franchise, I want to bring in my guy.
Right, but I agree. That happens in all businesses, and you're right.
The Jets didn't do that with Ron Rivera. You see teams do that, rear end backwards all the time,
where
they decide to keep the coach and bring in a new general manager, and it often does not work out because that head coach is not their guy. So that's the way I look at that, that argument that point in terms of I think it's more to do with the general manager than it is the owner.
Right, but as you know, and everybody listening to us knows, that the owner is always going to trump, the general manager. And you could have an owner who might not agree with the general manager and still like the general manager, but not listen to him about firing a head coach. Sure, you want the GM to have his guys. I understand that. I do. I get that. But at the end of the day, as you know, I would assume you would agree with this. It's David Tepper's decision on who his head coach is. It's not the GM's decision. I know he wants to keep his GM happy. I get that. But I just think coming in as a new owner, an analytics guy is Tepper, where Rivera's maybe more of an old school guy. And it seems like Tepper wants to get a little more ultra modern. And that's not really who Rivera is. That's why I'm saying I think it was more or less Tepper because he wants to have a newer feel and his stamp on this team. That's how I look at it, but we can agree to disagree.
Yeah, I think every situation's a little bit different.
Sure.
I don't think you can have it. Certainly, we all understand the influence of the owner. He owns the team.
Right, that's my point.
I do think there's a lot of owners that turn it over, the football decisions, to the general manager in terms of where the GM wants to go. And lets the football guys be the football guys. Now, that's not every instance. As we know, there's many examples that don't. The Washington Redskins, the Dallas Cowboys, up and down the line where the owner is heavily involved in the football-making decisions. But I don't think that's a broad stroke one way or the other. I'm just giving you, my personal right. opinion in terms of more often than not, I think it's the general manager in terms of wanting his own guy rather than it being the owner. But with that being said, you look at, Carolina right now in terms of where that franchise is. And if you're a Panther fan, are you happy with the firing of Ron Rivera? Did you think that maybe Rivera deserved the rest of the year? You've got a month to go. What's the point of firing Ron Rivera now with four games to go? Is it a case where you think this Carolina Panther team is all of a sudden going to rip off a four-game winning streak? Or is it a case of they just wanted to get moving on because they felt like that was a decision they were going to make after the season? So they have the embarrassing loss to the Washington Redskins, so it was time to go.
It's interesting, and it'd be interesting to see, to your point, with Panther fans, how they're feeling today that they have potentially, they're going to have a new coach for the foreseeable future, and that Rivera is gone. I don't know. My gut tells me it feels like Rivera was. It's tough to paraphrase fan bases, as you know, but stereotype, I should say, and group them all together. But I feel like Rivera was really liked by Panther fans. I don't know why. I'm not a Panther fan. I'm indifferent. I'm not a Panther hater. I just feel like Rivera. You agree, like, he kind of had that aura about him, like that real football guy, defensive-minded, tough guy, seems likable, kind of seems like a player's coach. I mean, let's pretend he still had his gig. Let's say he was in the Super Bowl. Let's say everything was going great for him. Did you ever look at Rivera? I'm asking you. Did you look at Rivera as a guy that fans liked, like as an overview? You know what I mean? Like just looking at him and the way he coached up his team.
I don't know if I ever looked at it or looked at it like from that.
Like, is he a likable guy? That's what I'm asking.
I think Rivera's likable.
Yeah, that's I do too. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not. Whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't understand the point that.
It's a simple question. Do you think he's a likable guy? Like, as a coach, some coaches they could be good coaches, and they don't seem like likable guys. You know, Bill Belichick doesn't seem like a likable guy, but over the years, all his success. He's a guru, and he's loved because he's such a big-time winner, and he's become a caricature of himself on these pressers with the one-word answers, the gruffy voice, and it's kind of funny, so he becomes likable. I'm just using Belichick as an example.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, do you feel Rivera, in your opinion, was a likable guy? Like, the Panther fans, as an overview, liked him.
I guess to an extent, yeah. I think it has a lot to do with whether or not they're winning or not. I mean, I don't think Ron Rivera was ever viewed as a great tactician on the sideline. I think he made some decisions that were kind of a little mind-numbing, whether it be challenges, whether it be whether to go for two. I think those discussions, I think the you know, you bring up the Packer game, you know, as a perfect case in point. Where he decides to go for two, where there was no need to go for two late in that game, and it made little to no sense whatsoever. You know, and I know the whole idea of Riverboat Ron and going for it on fourth down and going for 2-point game. I get that, but at that stage of the game in the fourth quarter, made little to no sense. I think Rivera was viewed as a guy that certainly connected with his players. You mentioned it in terms of, I mean, he had a meeting where he argued against technology, you know, going back 3 years ago, and the advancement of technology in the National Football League. So, yes, he is more of a quote-unquote old-school guy. He's not one that's embracing, you know, the modern analytics when you look at the National Football League and the way that professional sports are looked at nowadays. But I think the connection to players based on the fact of what he accomplished as a player, as a member of the Chicago Bears, the fact that he was a former defensive coordinator with the San Diego Chargers, then the San Diego Chargers. He had success with the Carolina Panthers. You ran through what he'd accomplished down there in Carolina, Taz. I think there are things to like, but I also think that if you wanted to pick apart his role, his job as a head coach, I think there are things you can find that Ron Rivera was probably felt a little bit short in.
Yeah, and you said something earlier there, and I had mentioned it, I touched on it a little bit in the top of this segment here about technology, and you're right. You know, Rivera did have that deal against technology, talking about that, and he is old school, blue collar, smash mouth football type guy, hence why he was such a tough, nasty linebacker in his playing days. But I do think that's why I mentioned Tepper, because Tepper is an analytics-driven guy, okay? He's a little bit more modern for a guy in his early 60s as Tepper, but yet he's a very modern-thinking, proactive type with the, like I said, analytics that maybe, and I think this is part of the reason why Rivera's done, not just the losing. The losing is a massive part of it, obviously, but because Tepper, I do think, will bring someone in there, forget the GM for a minute, that is a little bit more of a younger-thinking, technology driven, like a lot of these younger coaches are. And I do think he wants to kind of not feel like he has someone at the helm who's not winning and maybe has an archaic mindset. See, that's where I think Tepper is.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm saying, like, I don't think it's all on the GM. I'm meaning that the GM wanted his own head coach. I think it's Tepper. Because of, you know, how he is.
I don't want anybody to confuse the point. I was talking about the fact of I do think every situation's a little bit different.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
And I was saying that I do think more often than not, when you bring in a GM, you know, 80% of the time, the GM is the one that's controlling the coach, not the owner. But every situation's a little bit different. You know, the Tepper example is a fine example in terms of when you look at the way he's viewing football and the way Ron Rivera looks at football.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, it's and listen, for Rivera now, you have to see exactly. I guess for Carolina, the thing that you look at now is, you know, things are changing. And for that franchise moving forward, where Rivera is no longer going to be marching on the sideline, we'll see what new coach is there stepping in following this season. Cam Newton, who, you know, was said he was, you know, kind of hit to the heart that Rivera gets fired. In all likelihood, Cam Newton might be having a new home after this season as well. You know, that Panther franchise is going to look a lot different moving forward from what we've grown accustomed to, Taz, over the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's totally different deal. And I believe the interim head coach is Perry Farrell. I believe that's what the interim guy is right now, the secondary coach, Fuel.
Yep.
Right?
Perry
and Fuel. So here's a little advice to the Carolina Panthers from me, Taz. Talk to your IT guy who runs, or girl who runs your website, and where it says head coach, you still have Ron Rivera on there.
I'll take that down.
You might want to change that. I mean, it's just a little suggestion. That's
there
all.
You go.
Just saying. You know what I mean? You might want to stay. Being that you're such, Mr. Tepper, you're such a progressive, analytics, technology-driven guy, fix your website!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. It's Taz of the Moose just getting going here on this Wednesday morning, midweek edition of Taz of the Moose right here with you. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Bogish and Martin were having a conversation. Zach, that is, outside. Zach was in the hospital, food poisoning.
There's Zach one was way in to, the hospital?
Yeah, yes. One way to win me back. Tell me how you almost died, because I'm too nice to...
What did he eat? You know what he ate?
He said he's not sure what it
was.
Yeah.
So I'm not that I'm a doctor, but I feel like when the doctor says you had food poisoning, you should draw a direct line basically from the sickness to the meal. But Zach doesn't know what he ate that would have made him sick, because he says his family had eaten all the same stuff with him beforehand, and no one else got sick. So I don't know.
But maybe I could picture him eating like 3/4 cooked chicken breast. Like with some salmonella, like kind of raw-ish.
Just risking it?
Just saying, just because he's kind of a maverick, you know, like that's kind of his thing.
But
I think Zach, I think maverick.
Mad at the people for giving him the chicken, even though he chose to still eat it.
Right.
Well, I'd still be mad at the people that served me the chicken if it's...
I could picture him cooking himself and just making the error.
Well, that could happen as well.
I mean, but Bogus is
right. Give a shot. I asked him a question. I go, what do you eat? He goes, I'm not sure. I go, well, if no one else...
Oh, you talked to him, too?
Well, I just asked him quickly. Yeah, I was walking in. I said, well, how exactly does no one else get sick, and then you get sick, and everyone ate the same thing?
And he was, like, hard. Like, he said, it worst pain of his life in the hospital, had every possible test to make sure it wasn't anything serious. So, I mean, he was at a 10, and no one else had a symptom, which seems odd.
Well, how many days did he miss?
He was not here Monday or yesterday.
Yeah.
Did he get questioned like I do when I miss 2 days of being sick?
He brought a letter.
Did he really bring a letter?
It was
certified.
Yep.
Yeah.
Notary Public. Yeah. Oh, you guys had me hook, line, and sinker. Unbelievable.
Brought the doctor with him.
Yeah. No, nobody questioned it.
So, right. But I miss a day or two. Oh, it's like the roof's going to fall down.
Well, he doesn't walk around pounding his chest about the grind.
Right? Well, I just want people to know the deal. I mean, I get sick, Moose, as you know.
And you call out right away.
I do. And it trickles over from CBS Sports Radio right to WFAN. I think 1010 Wins covers it. It's
breaking
everywhere.
News.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
People, not like breaking news.
Like, it's just that people are like, why is he not here? Well, I don't know. The guy's not a machine. You know, but anyway, speaking of non-machines,
wouldn't you prefer to be missed?
No,
like it's noticed that you're not here.
No. I want to be invisible. Well, that's what I want to be.
Well, there's a difference between, I mean, being missed and questioning whether or not you're sick.
See, you keep going back to that. You did that a week ago. You did it again, and that's fine. I did not. I didn't even imply it.
Zach Martin was questioned whether or not he was
sick. You were.
But if I did that to you, oh my God. What do you mean? I would never do that. I'm always sick when I'm sick. I'm really sick. I gotta I laugh it off. But you, it's okay. It's a Moose joke.
What are you talking about?
Moose is allowed to make a little joke imply that a man is not sick when he's sick.
I don't know what's going on now.
Did he just not say on the air? Was Zach questioned like he was?
Maybe you guys misunderstood me. Hang on a second. When I kind of did say that, I meant my exact words.
Let's rewind the tape.
Listen, it's not on tape anymore. This is not Mike and the Mad Dog anymore. Those days are gone. Digital now. So here's the thing, right? When I say questioned, you're right. I did say that.
Don't at me for bringing that up.
I finish the sentence just one time on a show over 2 years?
No, not when you brought it up.
What I meant was, because sometimes, believe it or not, Moose, you could say things the wrong way and they come out wrong. That happens. I said at the top of the show, words have power. And even I make mistake with words. Okay? So I'm an award winner.
Yeah.
It's well documented my success, let's be frank. But here's the thing. When I said that about being questioned, I didn't mean it like you're saying. I understand how most people could be confused. What I meant was questioned, like, whoa, what happened? What was wrong with you? That type of thing. Oh, are you okay? Oh, you're back. Hey, that's what I mean. I don't mean like questioned like, oh, wait, is he really sick? I didn't mean that with Zach. I would never imply that. I leave that up to you to imply that people are faking sickness. That's what you do, Moose. But I can see why you're confused.
I didn't do it.
Yes, you did. You just did it. No, you just did it to me. You did it last week. Did it again.
I didn't question whether or not you were sick. I was saying other people did.
No, but you just throw that out there. But that's okay. I'm used to it. I understand it. It's not a problem.
No, but
Andrew, you're allowed to talk. This is not like an argument. Like, even if there is an argument, you're allowed to speak. This is not mommy and daddy, and you're the son. I don't care. Your little jokes. That's fine. I'm all about the jokes. But you know what?
It doesn't seem that way.
I had a quasi sinus infection that might come back. Just so you know, because it's been dripping.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know.
I'm more
concerned right now, Moose, not about you and I, I'm about Zach. I hope he's okay. That's all.
Well, he's back to work, and I hope he feels better.
Because that stuff can be nasty.
Just like I said to you, welcome back. Good to see you again.
To a tongue or viola.
Well, yeah, because if someone misses one day,
What's going on? I'm Andrew. Thanks, Pete. It's a sport. This report is sponsored by Geico.
What's going on, Andrew?
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. James Harden scored 50 points last night in San Antonio, but the lead story is the 2 points he didn't get. Harden dunked in the fourth quarter, but the Nets spit the ball back up onto the rim, confusing basically everybody, but in particular the referees. The basket didn't count. The ref said the Rockets missed their 30-second window to challenge while they were arguing. Houston led by 13 at that point. But Mike D'Antoni's team ended up in overtime.
We just quit playing defense. We quit getting back. We turned it over silly and didn't get back. And then we lost, and they got hot, and they made shots, and we just didn't do anything to combat it.
The Rockets finally losing in double OT, 135-133, when Harden was called for a charge with 0.8 seconds left. The Rockets said to be confident the league will address the bungled call. It's been 11 years since the league ordered part of a game replayed because of an officiating error. A routine 117-97 home win for the Clippers over the Blazers. L.A. now 13-1 in L.A. The Lakers got a 105-96 W in Denver. Both LeBron and Anthony Davis scored 25. Luka Doncic had 33, that is, in the Mavs. 118-97 victory in New Orleans. And the Heat blew out the Raptors in OT in Toronto.
Siakam, pass intercepted by Jimmy Butler. Jimmy goes in, two-hand Jim. 7 points for Jimmy Butler in overtime. And Miami now with a 115-108 lead. 4:05 left to go in OT. It's Butler time here in Toronto.
Mike Inglis on Heat Radio. Miami outscored Toronto 13-2 in extra time to win 121-110. Butler finished with 22 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia still atop the college football playoff rankings with 1 weekend left. Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor on the outside looking in. Alabama drops from 5th to 12th for losing at Auburn. This is the lowest the Tide has ever been on this list. College hoops, Louisville handled number 4 Michigan 58-43 in its first game at number 1. 10th-ranked Duke and 87-75 W at number 11 Michigan State. Number 15 Memphis fought off Bradley 71-56. As you guys have been discussing, Ron Rivera out as Panthers head coach after 8-plus seasons, 76 wins, 1 Super Bowl appearance. Secondary coach Perry Fuel is the interim replacement. Norv Turner moves to assistant to the head coach, and Scott Turner replaces his dad as offensive coordinator. The Steelers will start Devlin Hodges at QB Sunday in Arizona, and the Saints re-sign linebacker Manti Te'o with A.J. Klein and Kiko Alonso hurt. The New York Yankees expected to meet with free agent pitcher Steven Strasburg today after Gerrit Cole yesterday, and on ice, overtime in Nashville.
Sergachev again turns to Stamkos, high slot. Stamkos right circle, shoots, score! Kucherov! He tipped that in! The Lightning win it! 3-2 in overtime!
Dave Mishkin, Lightning Radio, Tampa Bay, a 3-2 win in Nashville to snap a 3-game slide. And I'm going to leave now.
All right. Thank you. You mentioned the latest college football playoff rankings. They came out last night. And you talked about Alabama dropping, as they did, from number 5 all the way down to number 12. And Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide certainly out of it. And now you look at Ohio State as they get set to take on Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, sitting at number 1 overall. Number 2 is LSU as they get set to take on Georgia in the SEC championship game. Clemson number 3, Georgia number 4. So we know the importance of the SEC title game for them. Utah getting set to take on Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. And then it's Oklahoma getting set to take on Baylor in the Big 12 championship game. And those are your top 6 right now as it stands. And certainly, Taz, when you look at it, I mean, those are the 6 teams that are in play in terms of playing for a national championship this year.
Yeah, I personally think it's right. My opinion, you know, I mean, I think they got it right thus far. I mean, it is kind of weird, though. I mean, no matter if it's right, wrong, or indifferent about Alabama, you know, sitting at 12, I mean, it's just weird. I'm not saying it's not correct. It's just odd to look at that. Like, looking at it on paper, it's just odd. You know, they're out. And obviously Auburn, as you said, is right above them at 11, and they should be, you know. So it's just weird not seeing them in the top, nevertheless, top 4, but not even in the top 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, top 10. They're not even there. It's crazy, right? I mean, if you think about the Alabama and that brand, it's weird, right?
Yeah, so, no, I agree with you. Yeah. You know, but I think it's probably deserving where they're sitting right now, sitting at 12, following their loss in the Iron Bowl against Auburn. And so, you know, as we talked about and laid out the other day of what is on the line for each of these respective teams, and kind of you and I believe we're in agreement. I mean, I think if Oklahoma, if LSU beats Georgia and Oklahoma beats Baylor in the Big 12 championship game, I do believe Oklahoma is going to be your number 4 seed over Utah. What about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did agree on it. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I agree. I mean, I think this is going to play out interesting a lot. Very interesting enough, I should say. I think, just like we said last week, I'm pretty sure we said this, the top 3, like Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson, I don't think that's going to change. You know what I mean?
It was interesting to hear the comments from Dabo Swinney, where he basically came out and said that, it was critical of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee and saying that they're looking to get Clemson out. Maybe he's using that as motivation for his players, but I agree with you. I mean, I think if LSU loses to Georgia, I think LSU is still in. I think if Clemson loses, I think they're still in.
Right.
And I think if Ohio State should lose to Wisconsin, I still think that they are in. Now, does it matter stylistically? Say if Oklahoma barely beats Baylor.
Right.
You know, it has to have maybe, once again, a miraculous comeback against the Baylor Bears and Matt Rhule. And Utah just absolutely drubs Oregon and beats them, say, 42-7. And it's no contest, and it's one of those daylight victories.
You said Utah. Let's say Utah destroys Oregon, right?
My point being, we're right now as we stand, we think Oklahoma, if they win, and LSU beats Georgia, that Oklahoma's going to be the four. Now I'll throw another like kind of wrinkle into the discussion.
Right.
Does it matter the way that they win? My point being is that if Utah destroys Oregon and Oklahoma barely beats Baylor, defense looks atrocious, you know, 41-39 final, they need a last-second field goal to win it, would you still put Oklahoma at four, or would you be more open, even with the lesser out-of-conference schedule, even with less top 20 wins, and even coming out of the Pac-12, would you then give a little bit more credence to Utah? Do you think the selection committee would give more credence to Utah being the four seed if that should play out that way?
I would give it more towards the Utes, to Utah. I would. I think the committee though would lean more towards Oklahoma because OU, the Sooners, sexier name, sexier program, and Jalen Hurts. The story of him being with Alabama, it's a great story. And now he left Alabama, transferred over, and he's kicking ass with the Sooners. I'd love to see it happen if Utah could beat up on Oregon, which is going to be tough. Oregon comes in ranked 13th in the country, to 10-2. I believe Oregon's +7 or +6 or something like that. I think it's going to. They both have tough games, meaning Utah and Oklahoma. That Oklahoma Baylor game is going to be great. But I do think the Oregon-Utah game is going to be great. Because we're talking about that, you know, what could happen between those two teams, meaning Utah and Oklahoma, who would, you know. What about you? Do you feel like...
I'm not so sure, because I think when you look at the resume, I think Oklahoma's resume would be better.
Right. It'd be tough to argue that.
And I think, more top 20 wins. I think it's a better overall conference when you look at the Big 12 as compared to the Pac-12, how it's played out this year. I do think Oklahoma now, you know, the question I would have then would be, how close is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Utah and Oklahoma right now are sitting there at 5 and 6 respectively. You know, and Utah going into the final weekend and going into their championship game against Oregon, Taz, they're 5.
Right.
And Oklahoma's 6.
Right.
So then, you know, we're painting an equation then of Oklahoma barely beating Baylor and Utah taking care of business and doing it easily against Oregon. So if you're a Utah U fan, you're saying, well, what more can we do? How could you have a team then drop from, say, you know, from 5 behind, you know, a team that's behind you, if we do and take care of business and do it, you know, easily? Just say like they did to Colorado this past weekend.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, that kind of a win where it's a dominant Utah celebration. Why do we then deserve to drop behind Oklahoma with the fact that Baylor is, you know, the 8th ranked team in the country, sitting here, they're the 7th ranked team in the country, and they've had a better year, and it's a much more, as they say, week to week, the fact that they would beat Baylor at 7, and Utah would beat Oregon, who's sitting at 13. I guess then that would be the argument, say, well, that victory put Oklahoma over Utah.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the argument to me.
Yeah,
right?
No, it would be. You know, you're dead on, no doubt. I watch Utah play just like you have, and they are they're fun to watch. I just like to see them just advance. No knock on Oklahoma. They're a lot of fun to watch too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's kind of, they're both really intriguing, interesting teams. I just feel like for the Pac-12, I like the Pac-12. I'm one of these guys who watches the late night games on Saturday night. So I'm dialed into a lot of those games, and so I'm kind of rooting for them. I guess that's why I would lean towards Utah, even though they don't have, like you said, the strength of schedule is better for Oklahoma and their victories. I think Utah had a loss against SC, and I believe Oklahoma's loss was against K-State, if memory serves me. So both interesting losses for both teams. But, we're going to see how it plays. But to the point, the overview point, there's some great games coming up this Friday and Saturday.
It's going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be fun watching, all these conference title games being able to be played out.
But you make you said it's a good point. Like, does it matter how, like, some of these teams, in these top four or five teams or six teams, how do they win? How much do they win by? I think that's a very important thing to say, and that's you're right.
Well, yeah, it's just a case of saying, are you going to look at his style, or is he going to just say, okay, we won?
Right.
Is it going to be a dominant victory, or is it a case of we won? And you could make the other argument as well. You could say Utah barely survives against Oregon,
right,
and Oklahoma blows the doors off of Baylor,
right,
and Jalen Hurts has six touchdowns, and they win the game 42-10. Then Oklahoma's going to say, we deserve to be there.
Right,
and Hurts is an amazing story. So I think it's fascinating. You're going to feel bad for one of the programs. You are. And Georgia, it doesn't have anything to – they've controlled their own destiny. If Georgia beats LSU, they're in.
They're locked in.
Locked in, and we don't have to debate Utah or Oregon or Oklahoma.
That's true. Because when you get into that Oklahoma-Utah the conversation, you forget about that, what you just said. Because Georgia goes and beats LSU this Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be tough. But if they could do that, then hey – Then thanks for coming, Utes. Thanks for coming, Sooners. I'll tell you what, though, Clemson, and then we love Dabo Sweeney, and he's came on the show, and they're a great team. But, man, that just goes to show the ACC. They're playing UVA, and, dude, they're going to blow the doors off UVA. They have nothing. There's nothing. As far as these top teams, that's the easiest matchup. I mean, and then second easiest, which is going to be easy too. Ohio State's going to beat the daylights out of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But there's other games we're talking about. Utah and Oregon, that's going to be a battle. Baylor and Oklahoma, dogfight.
Yeah, it's going to be – you're right about that. I think it also tells you where – we talked about the lack thereof in that ACC, which is a dreadful conference outside of Clemson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a bad
conference.
Unless
it's college lacrosse, like I said.
Yeah. There's a lot of doormats when you look at the college football. But I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS. What's your thoughts on the latest college football playoff rankings? What about Utah and Oklahoma? How do you think it plays out? Obviously, Georgia controls their own destiny, but who would you put in? If LSU beats Georgia in the SEC title game, Oklahoma wins, Utah wins, who gets that four spot in the last edition of the college football rankings? Want to hear from you. Taz and the Moose with you on this Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Let's go out to – we're talking about college football, by the way, and everything with the rankings. Let's go out to Sacramento, talk to Austin. Listen to 1140 AM. Austin, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate you taking my call. So I think this topic is fascinating. I'll start with this. I want to go to eight teams. A lot of people who are purists want to stay at four. Hell, they want to go back to the BCS and just stay at two. So I think we should meet in the middle because we're also trying to limit the hits on these players. So hear me out for a second if I can get a little latitude. If we go to six, we can kind of appease both parties. Not go to eight, not stay at four, but we get all Power Five conferences in and then maybe one at large or whatever you call it. Okay. The top two seeds, if you will have one game fewer. We're basically going to have a wild card. I find this fascinating, and I don't think this is going to happen. So I'm not pretending like this should happen tomorrow. They'll probably go to eight before they go to six. But I think six would be intriguing because you would limit the hits again on the top two teams, and then you would also get all conferences in. Now, Utah fascinates me because for the first time in forever, I'm a West Coaster. The Pac-12 is relevant. My God. So I'm not saying we have to get all Power 5 conferences in because for the past 5 years, I don't think we deserved to have anybody from the Pac-12 into this thing. So I just want the six best teams. Maybe we can meet in the middle. I'd love to hear your thoughts, gentlemen. Take care.
Yeah, it's interesting where you have the six and then you have the bye for the top two teams. Then you'll get into the debate in terms of teams two and three, if there is one. Say, for argument, like when you look at this year, LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State, there's not a lot of teams, not a lot that separates those three teams. So who, in essence, the debate then would rage on, Taz, in terms of who is team two that gets that bye into the next round as, you know, teams 3, 4, 5, and 6 battle it out initially to get to those national semifinals where you have the top two seeds sitting there. I like the whole idea from Austin in terms of trying to get all Power Five conferences involved. You know, however, you know, he did provide the little caveat at the end in terms of, you know, some years that you're not going to have it because you're not going to have a deserving conference champion coming from one of those top five conferences right. or the Power Five conferences that need to be represented in the college football playoff.
Yeah, no, I understand what he's saying. I mean, and look, if you're going to go with the Power Five of you know, the Big Ten, ACC, the Big 12, SEC, Pac-12, you know, I mean, I get it, but I don't know. I feel like you go 18. I'm all in for a playoff, by the way. I think it needs to be done, and we've even talked about in the past, and where I've kind of
expanded playoffs. You mean
expanded playoffs? That's what I should say. Expanded playoffs. That's correct. Thank you. But like the way the NCAA basketball does it, and I know it's different. There's more teams. And it's a much longer tournament. I understand that you can't go that deep, but it's great because every conference winner gets an opportunity. You know, so if you win the Mountain West, you win the MAC. You know, and you're in this. You're a college football program, and you win the Sun Belt Conference. So now you're not getting a shot. You know what I mean? Like if you do 8, like to his point, you're doing 6 with Austin's point. I'm just saying, I if you're a really good player, or there's a bunch of really good players, or a really good coach on a team that's a Mountain West team, you should have an opportunity too. I mean, even if you shorten the season a little bit and extend these playoffs the right way, I mean, like, kind of a mini model of NCAA basketball. I mean, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. A lot of folks have talked about this. Something needs to happen. I think it's better than, remember the BCS thing was horrible.
Yeah, no, that was.
This is better now, at least.
No,
bit,
it's better now. I think then you're messing with the model of the regular season. With how, depending on right. how far you advance it
know,
or expand
I know,
it.
I know.
You know,
but don't you have to, Moose? Like to get it right, like to, I'm just saying, to get if you win your conference. I mean, I know this is the conversation, and you know, shouldn't you get an opportunity to be in a quasi tournament or an extended playoff, whatever you want
to
call it?
The problem is the timing. And the amount of time and the amount of games then you're going to ask for college athletes to go out there and play over the course of a season. If you're not going to shorten the regular season, and you know, nobody wants to shorten the regular season, go from, say, 12
right.
to...
Right. No,
because not everyone's going to be part of the playoffs.
True.
So
true.
You're talking about a finite amount of teams as compared to the amount of college football that's being played over the course of the year. And, you know, are you going to give up home dates? You know, are you going to give up? You know, there are some teams that don't draw. But if you're, you know, you're Ohio State, they generate, their athletic department, they generate $63 million a year
that's a great
in
point.
Ticket sales.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, think about that. Their athletic, they people buy $63 million a year to go see Buckeyes. Not just football, I'm talking about everything.
I know.
So you're an athletic department. Now all of a sudden you're going to say, all right, we're going to take one game away from you. That's a huge amount of money that's coming in
that's
when you're packing the big horseshoe with 100,000 people.
Same thing with the other programs, like the LSU. Choosing the Clemsons or the Alabamas and Oklahomas and Georgias. Now, the money factor for those programs to agree with that and to shorten their season, the money factor, like you just laid out, of losing all that money is a huge thing. That's a good point. I just feel like,
I'm not saying it's not right, but if you're banking on the idea, I'm asking SEC schools to take away, say, a home game for the chance of being in a playoff game.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough ask.
Well, it's difficult. I mean, that's difficult to ask.
I'd love to see it happen as a fan, but
no,
you know,
I get what you're saying.
But I understand
it would be a good thing for college football.
Sure.
All right, Jerry Jones believes Jason Garrett will be coaching the NFL next season. But where? We'll explain. We'll get into it. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.